Importance of Joy. Several times you have already heard me say that I am not concerned about anything. Wonderful things are taking place is a positive, joyous attitude. I would like to discuss with you the importance of the qualities of positiveness and joy in our application of Christian Science. You know, we are not actually practicing Christian Science unless joy is present in our thinking. What would you answer if I were to ask you individually, are you happy? What would your answer be if I were to ask you, are you supremely happy? In every instance, every single individual in this audience should be able to say without any reservation, yes, I am supremely happy. Aren't we all followers of Jesus the Christ? Do we not seek to obey his every command? Jesus saw the importance of joy and gladness, and he was forever telling his followers to rejoice and be exceeding glad. A very special message he gave to each of us when he told us to rejoice and then added, quote, no man can take your joy from you. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Close quote. You see, Jesus wasn't satisfied with our being a little bit happy. He wanted us to be supremely happy. He wanted our joy to be full. Mrs. Eddy recognizes the importance of happiness when she writes in the textbook, quote, happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish. Therefore, it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Close quote. The Psalms are full of commands to rejoice. Quote, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Close quote. Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Close quote. Quote, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Close quote. Do not these very words and the spirit they impart cause your hearts to be uplifted and make you desire to sing praises unto God? Occasionally, you will hear someone say, I want to be happy, but I don't know how to be. How can I rejoice when I really am low in spirit and don't actually feel glad? Let us deal with happiness just as we would any other desirable quality. If you want health or wealth, you claim it in its spiritual sense. Therefore, claim happiness now. Not just in a degree, but fully and completely. After all, because we reflect the Supreme Being, we must claim his qualities in the superlative. Claim that you are supremely happy. Claim that you are one of the happiest people in the universe. Listen to the way Mrs. Eddy tells us to demonstrate happiness. This is from Christian Healing. Quote, if you wish to be happy, argue with yourself on the side of happiness. Take the side you wish to carry, and be careful not to talk on both sides, or to argue stronger for sorrow than for joy. You are the attorney for the case and will win or lose according to your plea. Close quote. Just think. Mrs. Eddy has specifically appointed you and you and you to be the attorney to plead the case for happiness and joy. Just how have you been pleading the case? Have you been testifying that you are supremely happy now? Or that you would be if something happened, or when some circumstance might be changed? Oh, let us ever win in demonstrating supreme joy by such consistent argument as, I am supremely happy. I know it. I understand it. I acknowledge it. I am grateful and thrilled to be the happy child of God. Not only am I supremely happy, but I feel it. I am demonstrating supreme happiness. In fact, I shout my joy and gladness from the housetop. Moreover, everyone sees me as a supremely happy image and likeness of God. Exclamation point, period, full stop. Anyone who testifies concerning his joy in such a manner cannot help but feel the boundless bliss of soul and the rapture of divine mind. We are claiming only that which is true about ourselves. The lie is that man could be capable of being unhappy. Man, never having been born into matter, living in the heaven of divine consciousness, sees nothing, hears nothing, feels nothing to be unhappy about. Since he is ever in the presence of God, good, there is only one cause for joy and rapture in his experience. Mrs. Eddy establishes the fact that man is ever at the standpoint of joy when she wrote in the textbook, quote, man is not a pendulum swinging between joy and sorrow, close quote. Notice how Mrs. Eddy puts no limitation on the joy that we are to express, for she emphasizes that man is tributary to boundless bliss. It is much easier to demonstrate happiness if our cause for happiness is scientific. What is it that makes you happy? Is it person, place, or thing? Is it home, church, or employment? Is it human events or circumstances? Are you ever tempted to say, I shall be happy when, or I would be happy if? There is only one sure, safe, permanent basis for happiness, and that is God. Over and over, the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Our textbook tells us, quote, happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Close quote. Rejoice then, and be exceeding glad that it is God that makes you happy. I know that many of you have heard the beautiful solo sung in our churches, which ends with the line, quote, God is, this is enough to know. Close quote. Plead the case for happiness with absolute conviction that just the existence of God is enough to produce joy and happiness. Whenever I find myself tempted to express anything other than joy, I open our textbook to these lines, quote, unfathomable mind is expressed. The depth, breadth, height, might, majesty, and glory of infinite love fill all space. That is enough. Close quote. It is truly thrilling to contemplate the depth of love, the breadth of love, the height of love, the might of love, the majesty of love, and the glory of infinite love filling all space. And then I ask myself, is that enough to make you supremely happy? Then I have to admit, it certainly is. Oh, isn't it wonderful that our happiness cannot be limited or restricted by human circumstances? Our joy does not depend upon whether or not we win that automobile or get that apartment or marry that girl or win that election or receive that inheritance or obtain that salary increase or experience that healing. No, our happiness depends solely upon the fact that God is. Therefore, our joy and happiness can never be taken from us, for God, our one and only cause for happiness, is ever with us. Those of you who heard my husband's lecture, Discovering Harmonious Relationships Through Christian Science, may remember the very apropos illustration he used in speaking of the oil of gladness. First of all, he says that saying, "I'll be happy when this event takes place," or "I'll be happy if the circumstances change," is actually postponing our happiness or our heaven. He likens such an attitude to an individual who would take a car that was smoking, hot, smelling funny, making funny noises into a filling station. And when the attendant would tell him he needed oil, he would respond, "When my car runs smoothly, when it no longer gets hot and makes any unpleasant noises, then I will reward it with a quart of oil." How foolish! The oil must go in first. Then the car will run smoothly. Just so in our daily experience, we must first pour in the oil of gladness. Then our human affairs will be lubricated so as to run smoothly. It really makes no difference what your profession. You will be a better teacher, better lawyer, carpenter, office manager, accountant, housewife, practitioner, reader, if you are rejoicing in the Lord. Our work is done more quickly, more effortlessly, more successfully, when we are serving with joy and gladness. It is much easier to demonstrate the right sense of home, companionship, supply, employment, harmonious relations with all our fellow men, if we claim the joy that is ours. Not only is it true that pouring in the oil of gladness benefits all our affairs, but it benefits our bodies, our health. If we wish to be healthy, we should take great doses of the oil of gladness. There is absolutely no better medicine. Way back in the days of Solomon, Solomon himself recognized that man's health was influenced by his thinking. Solomon pleaded the case against unhappiness and for joy when he said, quote, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Close quote. Did you ever hear of a supremely happy individual manifesting heart trouble, skin disease, arthritis, rheumatism, digestive difficulties, tuberculosis, or cancer? No. None of these claims can be manifested when supreme happiness on the basis of God's allness is being constantly manifested. In fact, no matter what the physical claims may be, one of the most important steps in annihilating the error is to help the patient find his true happiness. Joy and gladness heal. Remember that Jesus asked the palsied man to rejoice before he was healed. A second reader in one of our churches in my home city suddenly found herself unable to walk. The condition proved embarrassing to her as well as alarming, because here it was the end of the week. She was supposed to read Sunday and introduce a lecturer Monday night, and it seemed that the harder she worked in science, the worse became her condition. Finally, she stopped working. She turned to God and said, "Father, if I never walk again, I know that you are my loving Father, Mother, God, and I am your image and likeness." She said, in giving her testimony, that she was so happy, so thrilled, so blissful in the knowledge that God was her Father, Mother, that she honestly didn't care if she ever walked again. It was then that she was healed. She was so thrilled, so happy, so satisfied, so contented that God was her Father, Mother, that absolutely nothing else was important, not even walking. No wonder she had her healing. She was literally putting God first, and walking was added unto her. Do you remember that in the opening testimony, I brought out a couple of times that, regardless of what came up in the bodies or in the affairs of these individuals, they refused to be concerned, and they rejoiced that wonderful things were taking place? I am asking all of you today to adopt that same joyous approach to things. Regardless of what appears to take place in your bodies or in your affairs, maintain your joy. Argue and plead for the case of happiness. Demonstrate boundless bliss on the basis that God is the source of your joy and happiness, and therefore it can never be taken from you. Then you too will be seeing that wonderful things are taking place.